Welcome to Overtures. This episode is so special as it is filled with such delicious, warm conversation, beautiful wisdom for actors, and absolute joy talking about art, loving and valuing ourselves as storytellers and why we do the things we do. And of course, a Broadway debut. All links are in the show notes. Take your seats. We'll be starting shortly. Happy Friday. I hope everyone's doing well. I feel like I'm enjoying the fall a lot more now that Hurricane Ian's kind of getting out of here and fall actually feels like fall and not very early winter. But I hope you're all having an amazing October Friday, wonderful, wonderful weather outside. So yeah, get out there after this. I got to see A Strange Loop this past week, a few days ago. It was fantastic, Pulitzer Prize winning. I don't know what else to say about it other than it's absolutely fantastic. And now I need to go listen to the soundtrack to really like take it all in again. I highly recommend it if you have not seen it. Go listen to the soundtrack, go see the show, go support. Got to see two understudies in it, which was fantastic. And they're absolutely incredible. And you can tell everyone is putting their full soul into that show every single performance. So go check it out if you haven't seen it yet. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. So today is episode 48, and my guest today is a proud Wagner College graduate whose performing credits include Lola in Damn Yankees, Judy in A Chorus Line, Janet in Drowsy Chaperone, and Roxy in Chicago. Her choreography and credits include On the 20th Century, Mary Poppins, and The Wedding Singer. Everyone who knows my guest today knows that she's not only a triple threat performer, but she's incredibly kind, funny, giving, and hardworking, and it has certainly paid off. So without further ado, this is Emma Pittman.
Oh, that was really nice, Laura.
Well, it's true. It's true. How are you doing today?
I am fabulous. I've got my coffee and my Roxy Heart mug.
I love that so much. Did someone get that for you as a gift?
Yeah, my mom and stepdad got it for me when they finally announced the final episode. So I've had it for a long time. Since 2019.
Oh my gosh, that's such a crazy journey with all of that, and I know we'll get to talk about that later, but yeah. I'm sure it's so special to get to like drink out of it now and be like, yeah, I did the damn thing, you know.
we did it. So yeah,
exactly. And so I always give context for my viewers. How do I know my guest today? We are fellow graduates of Wagner College. We weren't in any shows together, I don't believe. I think we maybe had like Intro to Design and Technology together. So
that,
like,
right.
Yeah, that fun little Friday for 3 hours learning how to design shows. And like, it was necessary as a performer.
I really
to, like,
enjoyed that class. I'll be honest.
It was so much fun.
I loved that class. We had so many fun opportunities that I feel like I never thought I would be able to get the chance to do. And then it only helps you know a little bit more about all aspects of the theater world. So then when you are working in it, you have a little bit more information of like, oh, I know what it took to get here.
Exactly.
And I have a lot of respect for all of that work.
100%. Because like also I know with me, like I had like worked in shops or like hung up lights. But when it came to like the design aspect of like lighting and set and that kind of thing, I was like, this blows my mind. And the amount of math required is crazy. Like I remember trying to make the models ourselves with the tiny little scale models. Not my best work. Simply not. And then I was also a stagehand for Proof, and you were my ASM for that.
I did love a good ASM moment. That was fun.
It was
Proof
fun.
Was a crazy time. Proof
it
was. That was an insane play, but I loved being an ASM on that. James was the stage manager on that, our friend.
James Collins.
It was a good time.
It really was. A lot. Well, and I was going to say, like, that was my first ever tech assignment at Wagner. And somehow I was the only underclassman working on that show. But I distinctly remember both you and James being so kind and helpful and also being like, okay, yes, like, you're a part of this too. Like, we know that you just stepped in during tech, but like, come join us. Like, you're a part of this too.
Exactly. We're all in this together. That's always the theme song that I hear playing, especially when tech comes along. We're all 100%. In this together.
Exactly. Just dance it out. Immediately starts playing High School Musical.
Like,
yes, Exactly. and then also, you may not remember this at all, but during my freshman year, I remember I was like getting food in the dining hall by myself, and you had like, you were sitting by yourself as well. And you called me over to sit with you. And that was the time when I was preparing to re-audition for like the theater performance track. Yes. And you had asked me some really amazing questions about whether I wanted to like stay or train elsewhere, and like, so that I could get what I needed, like as mm-hmm. a performer. And I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for that, because I think I needed someone to ask me like those harder questions and help me realize what I needed. And at the end, I got so much out of Wagner, and I truly believe I got what I needed. So I just wanted to take that space and take that moment to say thank you, because you've always been so wonderfully supportive and genuinely kind.
That means a lot that you remember that. I feel like sometimes it just takes a little bit of somebody to just ask you those questions that can really help get you out of your own head, you know? Yeah. Like, I feel like, especially when it comes to like auditioning again for a program, like that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. And totally. I just remember seeing a lot of other students who were like, I have to get into Wagner again. And it was like, I'm like the poster child for Wagner. I love Wagner. I think Wagner, like we were just talking about the tech stuff, being able to do that and perform. And like, there are a lot of really amazing opportunities at Wagner. But sometimes I think that in the theater world, we can get in our own way. And it's like, this is the formula that I learned that is right. And so I have to do it. And it's like, but there are so many beautiful ways to cultivate the artist that you are. And so I'm so glad that you found what you needed at Wagner, because I felt like a home. Right.
Yeah, because it was one of those things that I realized, I'm like, okay, even if I'm not like in the performance track of it, this is still my home. And I found like those places that I needed there, but I needed someone to like ask me those questions and like affirm that. So thank you so much for that. But
anytime.
Getting to the interview part of this. Okay. So from the beginning, how did you first get started in theater?
Oh, that's a great question. So I started dancing actually as a little baby when I was 2 years old, and I danced at a dance studio. I'm from Mississippi, so the dance training in my town was not amazing, but we got to do all different types of dance, which was great, but definitely no really good ballet training. Yeah. I did a couple of plays. Like, I think I did Fiddler and I did Godspell Junior maybe.
Yeah.
And I was like little. And these were at companies that were far away, because we didn't have a theater. We don't have a community theater in my town. I'd have to drive like an hour away to do the show. Right. So that was probably my first introduction, but I was too little to like really experience it and enjoy it as much. And also because the community of people there weren't my community, it was a little difficult to feel like, wow, this is like really special. And I was tiny. But then when I went to a new high school, they had a theater program, and I was like, oh, I'll try it. Like, why not? I love dancing. I love it a lot. I know that it's what I want to do probably because it's just like, I've always been very comfortable on stage. It's always something that, I've enjoyed doing. I never felt like really nervous on stage. So I was like, all right, something about this is working. Okay. So let's try theater. And then I auditioned for Wizard of Oz, and I got cast as the Jitterbug. And I remember learning the dance and doing the show and thinking, oh, this is what I like about dancing is storytelling. It's not just I like dancing. It's that I loved. And then when I think about pieces that we did in our dance studio, it was the pieces that had a story that really made me feel like, yes, this is amazing. Mm. This is art. I was like, I love it. I love doing something on stage that makes an audience member have some sort of experience. I think that that's really beautiful. And then to talk about it afterwards and to share that community of whatever the piece is, whatever the story is. That's probably where I was like, oh, this.
You're like, I really like this. Yeah. So was that then like your overture moment of you're like, oh, like, I think I want to like do this? Or was there another one in terms of like pursuing it as a career?
I think that was probably the moment, the little Easter egg in my heart that was like, I think it's actually this. But there was a part of me, because I didn't have any like formal singing training. Like, I have a really good ear. I can, you know, hold a pitch and find a harmony, but like when it comes to like actual training, I didn't have any of that, and a lot of other people in my school did. And so I felt very like, I don't know if this is my place, because I've never been in it before. I don't know if I could take up this space here. and do what I love, because I just don't know if I'm qualified, basically. So after that year, my freshman year, every summer I did the Joffrey Ballet Summer Intensive in New York to train and become a better dancer, because there was a part of me that was like, if I want to do dancing, I need to get better, like yesterday. Like, because my training, my ballet training was really bad. And I knew that if I didn't start to get myself together, I wasn't going to be able to hold up in a professional dance world setting. So I was working really, really hard in the dance world. But as I was working hard in the dance world, I was really immersing myself in the theater community more. I was directing. I was choreographing. I was getting bigger parts. And I was like, okay.
You're
I kind of like this more.
Yeah.
And and in the end, it just came down to college. I was like, all right, what do I want to do? I want to go to school for dance, or do I want to go to school for theater? And in the end, it was visiting Wagner's campus that I was like, okay, I'm supposed to be here. I don't know what it's telling me. I don't know why it's telling me, but this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That's amazing. Did you audition for any other programs, like dance programs, or was it like all theater programs that you ended up applying for?
So Laura, I'm like the worst person to ask about this, because I didn't know what I was doing. We didn't have the resources that most people did. We had the resources. We have this thing, right?
Yeah.
But we didn't use them.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, I was like, my dream school would be NYU, obviously, because that's what everyone talks about in every movie ever.
I did,
right?
Too.
Yeah. Right? It's like, cool, yeah. NYU is where you go. Okay.
Yeah.
So that, and then I Googled, like, where's the biggest dance studio in Manhattan? And that was Marymount. So I was like, all right, I'll check that one out. And then Wagner was only on my radar because a girl from Memphis, Tennessee, which is like an hour from where I live, went to Wagner for theater like years ago, and she had a really successful career. She just happens to be someone that like my mom's friends knew about, and they were like, oh, your daughter wants to do that, like maybe you could try this school because we know so-and-so's daughter went there, you know, years ago. And so I only auditioned at Wagner.
Oh my gosh,
that's
crazy.
Was dangerous. I would not recommend that. If I could go back and do it differently, I would.
But you're like, do as I say, not as I do.
Do as I simply say, because what I did was not the way to do. But my plan was like, if I didn't get in, I was just going to get a job in New York City and like train at BDC and take classes at, I don't know, the Growing Studio or something. I was like, I'm just going to figure it out. I don't know.
Well, and luckily you had had experiences in New York for like these summer intensives and things like that. So you're like, I at least know what's happening there, and I know where other places I can train. Whereas I know some people can go in completely blind, which is like, I couldn't even imagine, but like, it's so nice having that like experience beforehand.
Absolutely. I talk a lot about because my youngest sibling also lives here, and I talk a lot about them to my friends and how difficult it is for them sometimes, because they came here on their own and they were like, I'm coming to New York because I want to be here and I want to live my life, and that's great. But I know, especially because of Wagner as well, the importance of community in a big city. If you don't come here and you like haven't gotten the lay of the land, and you don't have at least, you know, some sort of group that you can gather with once a week or something, you're gonna feel like you're all by yourself in this big world, you know?
And it's nerve-wracking as heck, and you're like, coming back to the city, even like after doing like my grad program and coming back, I'm like, thank God I have the Wagner people here that I do. But even then, I'm still like, wait, what am I doing? Like, it can be so nerve-wracking. You just have to find those people. It's so important.
It's so important, because otherwise you'll just feel like overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally overwhelmed. And like, I still feel that way. So like, we all do.
You're not alone. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. I love getting to talk about this with people who like sing, dance, and act. And we talked about it a little bit when you were saying that you started with dance first, and then like acting and singing was sort of something you picked up along the way. But I'm curious then, with people who've like started dancing first, the relationship with like picking up acting and singing as time goes on, because I think sometimes it can be really nerve-wracking to start picking up those skills when like you've been quote unquote like labeled this like you're like, I am a dancer, or like, I am an actor and I am like learning to dance, but can I call myself a dancer? Those kinds of things. And I'm curious if you have any thoughts about your relationship with picking up acting and singing along the way.
I do have many thoughts about that, actually. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
I feel like in my high school community, we didn't use labels a lot. Like, I was definitely privileged in that sense to go into college without thinking I'm just a dancer, because while people did still tell me that at Wagner, and I felt that, well, we'll talk about that in a second, but I feel like in high school, it was like, oh, I just love storytelling. And I just thought of myself as a storyteller rather than a singer or an actor or a dancer. It was like, whatever I'm needed for in this part or in this scene or whatever, I'm just going to tell the story. That's what's going to be my ultimate goal always. And my teacher was just excellent, and who was very no BS. He always like, what are you doing and why are you doing that? What does that mean? What's behind that? You know, he was always about storytelling first. And so I think it was just something that naturally came along at the more that I got to work with him and the more parts we got to do, and also being on the other side and being able to choreograph and direct with him as well. I choreographed Grease my senior year of high school.
That very must fun. Have been a blast, because you have that entire dance at the gym. Like,
yes, yes, exactly.
It's such a long scene. Like, it's such a long scene. So, you're like,
why is it still going on? Yeah, I don't know. But it was, I feel like for my high school career, I feel like the acting and the singing, they just kind of, the acting went hand in hand with any part I was doing. The singing, there were some challenges here and there. I was like, okay, this part's really hard, or I need to work on this. And that would just be me and my music teacher, the shower. We would work really hard together at late nights part.
Late nights every day.
Yeah, exactly. But then in college, I definitely could see that people labeled me one way, and it was more like a superpower. I felt like I was like, oh, okay, that's what you think that I am. I love that. That's great.
Yeah, cool.
Because I can bring that. And then when I sing, and then when I do this scene, you're going to be like, oh, word.
She can do
more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like knowing what you are in tandem with your label is really powerful, actually.
Because I love that framing.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You could say, You can go into a room and say, I'm a singer, I'm a mover, but also you can go into a room and just let them assume that about you as well.
Yeah.
And then stand in whatever your truth is and let them come to you when you are offering all the deliciousness that you are. Because we are so much more than just a dancer, just a singer, just a mover, or whatever you want to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think there's a superpower in it.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that reframing of it, because I think so often it's like, so you're like, oh, okay, well, like these are these three things, and I have to like get all of them like to the equal amount, or like whatever be it. And even just like knowing, like, I'm a very strong actor and singer, but also if you ask, I can dance too. And getting to have like that kind of reframing is so powerful. And it's very powerful because
I think that at the root of theater, it's about accessibility, right? The root of watching theater especially, but art in general, is that something about it is accessible to everyone. People who can sing, people who can't sing, people who can play an instrument, people who can't play an instrument. You go watch an opera and you're like so moved and emotional, and they're singing in a different language, right? Yeah. Like there's something about art that is accessible to everyone. So why, as the people who are sharing this art, would we confine ourselves into boxes that say that we aren't accessible to certain parts of our art?
Yes,
you know what
to
I'm
all
saying?
Of that. 100%.
Everyone, okay? Singing is talking. Yes. Acting is listening. Like, anyone can do it. There is something relatable to it that we can all find ourselves in.
Yeah.
There's no need in shutting it out.
Ugh, I love this. I feel like I'm going to like theatrical church on a Friday morning. Like, I'm like, yes to all of this. Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. And so when you graduated Wagner, you didn't end up getting to walk with your class, but instead FaceTimed in from what country? And do you want to talk about how that came about?
I was in Singapore, which is a blast. It was a tour of Legally Blonde, which I happened to book. And it was a short tour. I think I was in Singapore for like 10 days, but it just happened to be during graduation. And the school is very cool about it. And I got to, the saddest thing was that I missed the like big senior party that everyone has at Michelle Fox's house. That was probably the biggest devastation to me.
Understandable.
Not walking, but that. But it was nice to be on the tour and to experience that with those people as well, because there was also another girl who also was graduating at the same time. And so we both like had cap and gowns, and we like had like a pool ceremony. Like, it was
That's so sweet. And to like have your castmates being like, no, we're going to take this time to make sure we celebrate you guys, because this is like a really wonderful moment that you just don't get to be there in person for.
This is a big deal.
You have your own, you had your own graduation in a way.
We did. It was, it was very special.
Didn't like, didn't someone like FaceTime you to walk you across the stage too?
It was Sabrina Kalman. Yeah, I was there on her phone. Like, thank you. You were like, hey, appreciate it.
I love that so much.
It was fun. I feel like I was FaceTime hopping between people through the whole day. Like when everyone was in the gym, I was on the phone with one person, and then it was like being passed around. It was
I love that. So you like really did get to like see everyone on graduation day too.
It was like I was there. It really was.
Yeah. That's so amazing. And that's so special too.
It really is.
So, and of course, going a little bit back at Wagner, but also jumping forward, you'll understand in a second. Okay. You got to play Lola in Damn Yankees. And by the way, you are absolutely fantastic. But then a few years later, you got to play her again, but in a pretty unconventional way. Yes. Do you want to talk about that crazy happenstance?
Absolutely. So my sophomore year, I got to play Lola with Mickey Tenenbaum as the director. Yes. And it was an excellent experience. That was definitely one of those times where the acting and the dancing were like melding together, because we did a lot of original Fosse choreo as well. So that was a blast. That was one of my favorite roles that I ever did at Wagner. And then it was 2018. I was choreographing Mary Poppins in Delaware at a theater called Clear Six Theater. And I had gotten a call from a colleague of mine from Wagner. And I was like, it's not that we're not friends, but like, she would never call
You're like,
me.
What's up?
So I was like, what's good, girly? And then I realized she was doing Damn Yankees at this place called Park Playhouse. And I was like, my brain was like,
you saw like you're seeing the call come in, you're like, wait a second,
it's like the math meme when she's like that,
and
that
it all just connects. Like,
I was like, oh my god, I think I have to go do this show. Like, that's the and I know that's dumb. I was like, it's either a butt dial, which is fair, or it's this thing that I've made up in my mind, which is the only reason why she would be calling me, which is that she had gotten hurt. And unfortunately, that was true. Thankfully, her name is Victoria Puza. She has
talented.
She has this thing. Incredible. And she is like perfect for this role as well. Yes. She's such a dynamite actress, dynamite singer, dynamite dancer. Like, she's perfect for the part. But unfortunately, she had torn her ACL in rehearsals, and they were opening like a week from the day that she called me, basically. She was like, I just knew that you'd play the part at Wagner, obviously, and I want to see if you're available. Like, are you okay if I give you your information to the theater? And I was like, duh, like, how can I help you? Like, I just want to be there for you. And so, in a whirlwind, I rented a car, drove from Delaware all the way up to Albany, New York, through the night, stayed at a hotel. The next day I had rehearsals.
Oh my god.
And it was like me and the choreographer and Victoria, and we just talked through all the scenes. And also on the way up, I'm listening to the songs. I'm like getting the songs back in my head. I'm like, okay, I definitely know what this is. It's fine.
You're like, I'm remembering this now. Like,
I know this. It's fine. And they were doing an interesting version that was like somewhere between the revival and the original. So there was mostly original stuff. There was a couple of new scenes that I had to, I had to learn. But it honestly, I was off book within like 3 days, just because it was so in my head already. And I knew the play. I got there maybe on I must've gotten there the Monday morning. We had rehearsals that Monday, and I think we started previews on the Thursday.
Crazy.
Or the Friday.
I mean, it's nice that you still had like almost a week to like, at least on a show that you had done before. So like, it's a short amount of time, but it could have been worse.
It could have been worse. And honestly, I kind of loved it. Like, I didn't love, obviously, that Victoria was hurt. I loved the idea of coming in and learning, like being so hyper-focused on doing the work in the most efficient and fast way possible. Something about that was very exciting to me. I was like, I love this. I want to soak everything up, and I want to do my absolute best in 5 minutes.
Yep. You're like, let's try and speed it up and see what happens.
It was really fabulous. And everyone was very, very supportive as well. Yeah. The director, the choreographer, and as well as the entire like cast, they were all there for me and literally lifted me up. And Victoria was excellent as well. She gave me like all of her notes and all of her, she sat with me through everything, read all the lines. And it was a really special experience. And I was glad to share that with her.
Oh, 100%. And of course that has then, of course, that kind of experience, I feel like must level you up in a way that you like wouldn't expect in terms of like having to learn things so quickly. And you're like, I didn't know that I could physically do that kind of thing. Like it's what swings and like understudies do, but in truncated version. And so it's pushing yourself to that limit that you're not necessarily expecting.
Absolutely. And it's definitely, like you said about swings and understudies, they are the backbone of the musical theater world, of the theater world. It is, because what I did was I got thrown into something that I didn't know and I had to learn it. But these people learn it and they do it sitting on their butts in the house. And then the day before, you might get a put in to go into the show that you need to go in.
Or you That's find insane. Out like, or you find out like
halfway through.
Or even like halfway through the show being like, can you do this track? And then there's also some people who have to do like split tracks and things like that, where they're taking on like two things. It's wild to me.
It's wild.
It's a whole nother skill set that a lot of people don't know about or wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah. And it's honestly like if there's someone out there that loves theater and loves performing, but is also incredibly like type A and a little OCD, like that is the world for you. Like that is the jam, because your life is just PDFs and papers and of notes and lanes and directions. And it's so satisfying when you like to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You're like, maybe not for me in terms of,
I've been swung before, but I think that I would actually really like it because I like ASMing. I love having all the answers. I loved having everything written down in clear in the book. Like that was very satisfactory. So I think I would like it.
No, I feel like I would be like super stressed out about it the whole time, but I think I also would kind of secretly enjoy it because I AD'd everybody for Mickey, and that kind of same thing of like keeping the tracking and trying to figure out what's going on. I had a little too much fun with that, like sitting with my notebook like off. And so I'm like, maybe that's terrifying, but I might also enjoy swinging if that were given.
It's a little terrifying, but it also sounds amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, you've gotten to talk about this whole experience with Roxy and Chicago so many times. So hopefully I'm asking some slightly different questions.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm sure you will. You have great questions.
Did you see the original listing for the search for Roxy, or did someone send it to you?
That's the first thing. Michelle Pock.
Of course she did.
So basically someone on the team for Broadway.com emailed it to a bunch of schools. Mm-hmm. And so Diane got it and then emailed it to all of the professors and was like, hey, like, who do you think would be good for this? And then Michelle emailed it to me and was basically like, hey, if you don't do this, you're an idiot. And I was like, you're right.
You're like, you're right, Michelle. You are correct.
Nah, she said, she was like, you need to do this. You'd be perfect for it. That's what she said. But the subtext was, you'd be an idiot if you didn't do it.
because it is Michelle Pock, and you can read that subtext pretty clearly.
Very clear. Yeah.
Did you have any like idea when you submitted like, hey, this could be really up my alley. Like I have a strong chance here. Or was it more of like, okay, Michelle, I'll do it. Do what you say and I'll see what happens. This could be fun.
I feel like it was like, to have that little bit of encouragement from her made it more of a reality to me. Like, I think if I had seen it by myself, I would have thought, oh, why not? Like, it could be fun. Like, sure. But I think because Michelle thought of me and sent it to me, I was like, no, this is very serious. This opportunity doesn't come around a lot. I mean, ever. And this, it would be really dumb if I didn't do this, because it is a great part for me. Even if it's not right now, eventually, it's a great show for me. It's a great... It's a show that I love. It's like the dancing is delicious.
Oh
like,
my gosh, yes.
It was all things that I was like, there is a possibility here. So I'm going to put my absolute best forward and then I'm going to let it go. And whatever happens is going to happen. And I'm not going to, I'm not going to stress about it, but I am aware of the possibility here.
Yeah. And that, I know that is so hard to put like your heart and soul into like recording something, sending it in, and then just having to let it go. You're like that. It's so difficult. So difficult.
It
to
is.
Do.
It's definitely a practice. If I've learned anything so far, is that it's a practice. It's just saying, because self-tapes, especially in this 2020 world that we're living in, self-tapes have become everything, which personally I don't like, because I personally am good at auditioning. I like the auditioning. I like that experience. I enjoy, I think I have a skill for it. Like just in the sense that like, I know how to go in. I know how to be myself. I know when I do my best work and when I don't, and I'm able to walk out of the room and go, all right, see you later. Yeah. Like I'm just able to leave it like that. I don't know how, but yeah, go on.
I'm very similar in that, although I do like hold on to it a little bit, I need to practice that, but I'm very much a person of like, I love getting to go into the room and see the people that I'm auditioning for and finding ways to connect with them, be it being like, hey, like, how's it going today? Like, I hope you get a lunch break soon or like something like that. But also getting to see in my peripheries, like, oh, they're connecting to this. And you can't get that in a self-tape. And I'm also like, oh, that hurts my heart. But as time goes on, hopefully this changes, develops, and finds a better accessible way of getting to do all these things.
Yeah. But, and also, I'm trying not to be like, self-tapes are horrible, because they are also the future of theater, for sure.
Yes.
Because it is very accessible. Do I think it's equitable? No.
No.
But I will digress on that point.
Yeah.
But I do think that in the world moving forward, I will have a more pleasant relationship with self-tapes, the more that we normalize whatever is normalized. You know, I think that right now we just have an idea that's like, hello, I'm slating. Here is my life and guts in this piece. And thank you so much. But I've heard so many fun stories of people who like do silly takes or like add jokes in. And I'm like, I never even thought about that. And and they got the job because of that, because pieces of themselves were in the self-tape. So I think it's just about me learning and normalizing being a person on the self-tape as well.
Yeah.
Still bringing myself without it feeling forced, but with it feeling genuine.
Yeah. Like I've had moments where like my cat literally like jumps on the windowsill right at the end of my take. And I'm like, well, that was the good take. So you're just going to get a little cat butt at the end of it.
I love
like,
that.
That's just going to be it. But, but yes, going back to Chicago, I'm sure once you hit like the top 10 and the top 3, everything just felt like a whirlwind and a sprint from that point on.
Yes. Like, it really was weirdly like a sprint. Like it was like, when I got top 10, it was on my birthday. They called me or they sent me an email on my birthday. And I was like, oh my God, it's my birthday, best birthday ever. And I remember thinking, okay, I need a game plan, because again, this is a once in a lifetime experience. This is not something I want to take for granted.
It is a voting thing from top 10 to top 3. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to campaign for myself. I've never had to do that ever, but I'm going to do that. And so I like made an Instagram plan of what posts I was going to post, what days, and how I was going to do a countdown to make sure people that were still emailing and calling or whatever. I made sure to post it on my Facebook. I made sure to call people who had big, like communities that they could also reach out to so that they could get more votes and stuff. It was like a business. I was like, okay, let's go. Bam, 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 bam.
You're like, well, I guess I now know how to be a social media manager. Like
it was insane. It was a lot of work, and it was honestly only for like what, 10 days or 11 days.
Something crazy like that.
And I was like, that was hard.
Well, and then all three of you who made it to the end in that like final three have all done absolutely incredible things this afterwards. And you all got so close, which was really special to see.
Yeah, we're there definitely. It was the day that we got flown in, we got to go see Chicago that night. And we sat next to each other and we were all just like, we all think this is crazy, right? Like we just had a moment that was like, we're all just grateful to be right here.
Yeah.
And like anything more than that is blessings upon blessings.
Yeah.
And that was the moment we were all like, okay, great. We're all on the same team. We're all on the same page. Whatever happens is going to happen. It was not a competition. It was just an audition, you know, because I think that it made it seem a little bit like a competition. I mean, it was the voting and But it was not between us. It was between casting deciding who they wanted, you know?
Yeah.
But it was, I always like to say it was about what flavor they wanted, because each of us had our own fabulous, delicious flavor.
Yeah. And like, I think in like the final episode where you get to see like the three of you like doing your auditions and things like that and snips of it,
yeah.
Everyone did have their different take and they were all fantastic in their own way.
Yeah, that's what makes Roxy and that's what makes Chicago in general such an incredible piece. It's something that the text has held up over time between all different types of people because it's well written. Like, you can make this, you can make a Roxy monologue anything. There are no rules. The only rules are the text. And that's what makes it so interesting is you can have someone like, you know, Pamela Anderson come in and someone like me and someone like Charlotte Dambois and you know, there's like so many different ways to do it.
And like Angelica and Ross now. Right. And yes,
I know.
I'm like, it's so
I hope to see her next incredible. Week.
Yeah.
She's gonna be amazing.
She's incredible. I'm a huge fan. huge. And obviously the pandemic threw the whole industry for a loop. And I can imagine having to wait, knowing that you would have this incredible opportunity at the quote unquote end of things must have been very bittersweet in a lot of ways. And very
strange. It's funny because a lot of people say that. And when I think back on it, I was just like, this is so not about me at all. This is so about the health of the entire world. 100%. And I was like, People would email me or call me. Oh, it must be so hard for you. I'm like, I'm on unemployment. Like, fine.
I'm fine.
You know, like, even if, I mean, the only thing that was scary, and it honestly only got scary towards the end of the pandemic, was the possibility of it not happening at all.
Right.
Not that I thought that Chicago wouldn't uphold the agreement, but it's like, shows are closing. Yeah. You know, like, things
they have
worked,
to do.
What is right for the business. And if that meant not taking me, I respected that, but it was gonna hurt, obviously.
100%.
But during the panorama, I was like,
you're like it's fine, it'll happen, it's we want to make sure everyone's like, okay.
Exactly. I was like, I just want us to be able to get back to work. I don't care when, I don't care how, but I know if something's starting right now, sorry, the point is I was just like, whatever is gonna get us safely to where we need to go, that's all that matters to me.
Well, and that makes me so happy to hear, because I could imagine a world in which like someone in your position would take that like very, very hard and not, and have a very hard time dealing with it. But knowing that you were able to take it and be like, look, this isn't about me. That makes me feel good knowing that, because such a healthier take on it, and a nice like deep breath, you know.
It goes back again a little bit similar tangent-y to auditioning, like just being able to let it go and knowing that it's just not in my power at all. So I can waste time being stressed and sad about it. If my feelings need to be validated, then that's fine, but also I don't have to, because it's not in my control.
Yeah, 100%. And my dad submitted an Instagram question because he was curious.
Okay.
And it's sort of along the same lines of what we were just talking about. Talking about having to postpone your Broadway debut when COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you have advice to give other artists who experience disappointment?
Ooh, that's a really great question. I'm going to get a little like therapy-y on it. Why is there feeling of disappointment when you don't get the job? What is the root of the feeling of disappointment? Is it that you believe you're deserving of the part? That can still be very true, but maybe not that part in that show with that director, with that choreographer. And also, is the disappointment that, is it rooted in not thinking you're enough? Because we are enough and we can't go and give our absolute best self if we are not encouraging our own selves and knowing that we are the fabulous product that we know that we are, right? Like we were talking about earlier. I feel like disappointment is going to come, no's are going to come. And so it's about changing your relationship with when you hear no. No is never, you're not good enough. No is not, you're not right. No is, it's just, this is not the right time and something better is on the way, because it is always true that something better is on the way.
Yes.
Whether that's something that someone else gives you, or maybe it's something you create, there's always something better down the road. So I think just my advice would be change your relationship with hearing no, or hearing the things that have made you disappointed in the past. Yeah. Find out why it's disappointing you, and then find a way to support yourself out of that. Like, okay, how can I hype myself up? If I'm going into an audition and let's say I don't hear anything, then what can I do to make me feel better? Take a mm-hmm. dance class where I'm going to play?
Yeah.
Have an iced coffee? I don't know, something.
Yeah, whatever it is, whatever it is for you. Absolutely. Yeah. And like, that makes me think of, it's something that I have to keep reminding myself, but the Andre DeShields, I think he said this like in his Tony speech at the very mm-hmm. end, but talking about rejection is redirection. And it's such a, it's like a short, sweet way of saying it. And I love it so, so much.
Very, so, very so much. True though, because yeah. it's this industry can feel a lot like you're supposed to do the work, audition, get the job. Mm-hmm. Similarly to the idea of like corporate America, you start low, yeah. you work hard, you get up. But that's just because we've created this idea of what success is in a capitalist society. Yeah. Like we actually, what we're getting to do is what we love every mm-hmm. day, right? Yeah. In some sort of capacity. So if we don't get the job that we were hoping for, then there is a very good possibility that we wouldn't have been happy or supported or celebrated in that space. And so wouldn't it be better to do what we love in a place that we feel like super lit on fire with the people around us, rather than getting a job somewhere where maybe we don't feel as supported?
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I love all of that so, so much. When you finally got the call about your dates and rehearsals yes. began, how long did you have to actually learn the show and rehearse it?
That's a really great question. I think I was in rehearsal for 6 weeks. That sounds dramatic. Maybe 5.
Gotcha.
I feel like I should have reviewed this. I think
no,
I
was you're in fine. Rehearsal. It's not a quiz.
I'm like, let me just look back. Yeah,
I don't know.
No, it was a kind of quick rehearsal. It might have been 4 weeks, actually. I think it was 4 weeks. 4 or 5 weeks of rehearsal and then 2 weeks on Broadway. Yeah. And I remember I got the call while Pamela Anderson was still on. And I think it was 6 weeks before she finished her run. And I basically started rehearsals like the week after that call or 2 weeks after that call or something.
Wow.
So it was, there was a moment when I almost freaked out. I was almost like, I'm not ready. I haven't done enough, you know, vocals and dancing, and I gotta go to class, you know? But then I was like, you know what? If they're saying it's time, it must
it's
be time.
Time. Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'm not gonna be weird about it. Let's just go.
You're like, let's do this. Let's do this. And I feel like so often we hear about the rehearsal process when it's like a show that's being originated and created. And so everyone's in it from start to finish. This is a very different kind of rehearsal process because it's a rehearsal process that's all about you and you learning the show, and everyone else like is coming in to help. What was that kind of process like? I imagine somewhat similar to the Damn Yankees scenario from before, but like bigger scale and just a smidge more time.
No, literally that I was going to say, thank goodness for that opportunity that I had, because other than that, I've never been in a rehearsal situation where I'm not surrounded by a bunch of other people who are also figuring it out at the same pace that I am and also that are in the same boat that I am. Like, it's just you by yourself, music director, dance captain, and then somebody who's playing the piano and the stage manager. And that's it. It's just you four in a room, and it's about you getting your lines and getting your blocking. And so it was a very interesting process, mostly because there was two parts of my brain. There was one part of my brain that was like, okay, I need to learn this. Like the Lola thing, it was like, I'm going to come in and I'm going to, you know, I've already done the work for Lola before. So I had parts of her in my brain that, and then I could sprinkle a little bit more on, but I didn't have a lot of work pre-rehearsals for Roxy because I really wanted to do it in the rehearsal room. So I was not only going in and just thinking, okay, I need to learn the blocking. I need to learn the notes. I need to make sure I have, you know, the rhythm of this part, like the kind of technical side of it.
Yeah.
But then also I need to create, I need to decide how does she walk? How does she look? How does she feel about these people? What are her relationships? Like, so having those two things in the same room it was really interesting. I know that it's usually like that, but I guess my brain at first was like, I have to get it right. I have to, you know, have it all down. And then once I had learned it all, I think I learned it by like the first week. I learned the whole show. And then I was like, okay, now I'm going to play. Now that I have the skeleton of where I'm going and who I'm speaking to and what line is next, now I can play a little and see what is my Roxy right now? Mm. What is she like? Who does she care about? What are her intentions? And it was very interesting. And it was a lot of fun to get to play with Rob Bowman, the music director, David Bushman, the dance captain, and David Hyslop, the stage manager, because they've been doing this show for years.
Yeah.
And they have so much knowledge about the text. Mm. And it was so fun for me to like come in and I'd have questions and I'd be like, hey, what does this mean? When do you think that she met Amos? Because I feel like when she was here and like, how much of this speech is actually true, do you think? And there were times that we'd be like, well, it could be this, but it also could be this. And then
it's been played in these different ways. Like,
yeah. And so it was fun. It was really fun to challenge a lot of why I made the choices I did based on the text. It with them, because they have so much information on when other people have done it and when they've said it on other people. It was so fun. It was like a fine tooth comb.
Yeah. To the text. And I can imagine there was a certain amount of like, not to say that like, if there's a certain amount of like self-advocating in a room like that, where you're like, what do you need? Because this rehearsal is literally all about you. And I feel like sometimes we're like, yeah, no, I don't have any questions. I'm fine. And then like, in this case, you're like, no, like, ask us every single question that you have, because this is for you.
No, 1,000%. I think that in the beginning, I was thinking so much about just learning it and getting it in my body and on the paper and in my brain that I didn't want to ask questions because I didn't have any. I was like, I need to let this soak into my brain like a sponge. And then afterwards, I felt more like, not because of them, but because of myself, I felt more like, okay, now I can ask for things that I need, or I can be like, oh, can we just do that one more time? Like, I'm sorry, it's not quite right. And that's new for me, because, and again, in a typical rehearsal space that I've been in, I'm in the ensemble, or maybe I am the lead, but still it's like, it's not about me. It's about the show and how we're putting the show together. And what does the show need next? Do we need to run the number again because it's unclean? If it was up to just me, I would do it because I felt like I was unclean. But overall, it was fine. I can go home and do my homework, you know? Yeah. But in this space, it was like, no, I could really take up the rehearsal space and use it to rehearse the way that I needed to or whatever.
Yeah.
It was very interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like very much like a dream scenario, but also like a little bit intimidating of like, oh yeah, what do I need? What actually do I need?
Yes, there were times that I was like, I don't know. Like they were like, do you want to run that again? And I'd be like, sure. Like it was just new. It was a new question to ask myself whether I needed it again or if I wanted to run something else. Like it was interesting.
Yeah.
It was an interesting turn of an event, I guess.
A brand new experience that you hadn't gotten to do before, just simply put.
and I feel like it just opened so many doors that I didn't know could be opened in a rehearsal process, if that makes sense.
Oh, 100%.
Like moments of rehearsal that I didn't know was possible to have because it's just not been an opportunity that I've ever had before.
Yeah. And so then jumping to opening the show, I was like trying to figure out, I'm like, where do I even start to ask about this? But luckily, friend Danielle Allen submitted a question who I think will help encapsulate that a little bit. What helped you keep feeling grounded in your Broadway debut? Because I am sure the pressure felt very real.
That is very true, Danielle. Basically, let's see. I think this sounds really dumb, but I just didn't let myself freak out because I knew that if I did, there was going to be like no turning back. Like, there was a lot to freak out about.
Yeah.
You know, there were like so many things that if I thought too long about it, if I allowed it to take up too much mental space, then it could really pull me right down.
Yeah.
And I just remember so many times at Wagner when Michelle would be with us for opening night or closing night. And she'd be like, everyone, who paid for this show to see it tonight wants the same exact show that you put on two nights ago. So I don't want to see anyone crying. I don't want to see people allowing their own personal emotions to get into the way of the storytelling, because mm-hmm. it's not fair to the audience. And I think that's so true in what we do. Like, yeah. it's still our job, not to take away from all the beauty and like emotion that does come with it. I was like, this is my job. I want to show that I just want to do my job. I want to be able to go out there and say, okay, I auditioned, I did the work, and I made sure that I am prepared enough to be alive on stage, because that's what you love to see, is somebody just there, alive, living and breathing and taking everything in. And I think a lot of meditation was very helpful. I would do a lot of like hand on the heart, hand on the belly, breathing, and being really present, I think. Not allowing the mental space to be clouded by too many overwhelming feelings, but instead be grounded in the present moment, which was, okay, I've got to get my mic on. Okay, I got to do this. Okay.
Literally living in the present, like every millisecond.
Every millisecond. Yeah. Like even I remember on opening, when I came out, it was like a wall of sound just smacked me in the face of everyone being like hype and clapping and screaming. And I remember feeling like, that's cool. But then I remember feeling, okay, like this is Roxy on stage right now. This is not Emma hanging out with her friend. This is Roxy trying to get with Fred Casely. So focus on Fred. Focus on Fred. Listen to what he has to say. Let's see where we're going next.
Yeah, no, a crazy, crazy experience. And I had a clip of you singing Roxy, but in the interest of time, and there's some other things that I want to talk about with you.
Okay.
So people can go watch that in their own time, because it's
on
fantastic.
YouTube.
It's on YouTube, literally. That's
on TikTok. You can find it.
No, I like pulled it up from YouTube anyway. So go watch that in your own time. But most recently, you got to play Janet in Drowsy Chaperone out in Kansas. How much fun was that? Because it looked like such of a blast of a show to be in.
Oh my gosh. First of all, that show is the first show I saw at Wagner. It was the show I saw for our audition day. And it was excellent. The cast in that show was insanely talented. And the show itself is like the most beautiful, heartfelt love letter to theater, I think. It's something that we can all relate to, that one show that you listen to without seeing it, but you have the whole play in your head.
Yes.
And it's special. It takes you to another world, and it just reminds you like why it's so beautiful what we do. Yeah. And the production value was insane in Wichita. They're like, their motto is like, definitely Broadway, uniquely Wichita. And I think it's, first of all, precious. Whoever
and you're like, made love it.
Deserves a raise. Second of all, it's so true. The quality of performance was amazing. The set was incredible. Costumes were incredible. The guy who directed it was a swing in the show on Broadway. The girl who played Drowsy was the understudy of Drowsy on Broadway. John Shearer, who played the man in chair, was in Sunset Boulevard on Broadway. Like, everybody's giving Broadway. Everybody's giving... And not even Broadway, but they're giving like hardworking, incredible professional theater artists. And the storytelling was excellent. Everybody was just like hungry to do the work. And the people who ran the theater were excellent and kind and loving. And it was a fabulous experience. And Miss Janet, I love her.
She's incredible. I love that character so much. She's insane. Like, ever since I first saw like Show Off, like as a song, I was like, I want to get my hands on this show in any way possible in the future. Cause I'm like, that's such a fun, like, all I can think of, like, when I think of Janet, I'm like, she's such a goober. Like, she's goober. Hysterical. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
She is. And she's like this archetype of a female lead, but she's also like,
she so knows. She that? Knows how to use it.
Oh God, it's hilarious. I love it.
Yes, it's incredible. And I wanted to ask questions about you as a choreographer and a director, but I think that'll best be used in talking about the things that you're working on and will be working on soon. So, a show that you just finished choreographing at Wagner opened last night. Cradle Will Rock.
Yes. I did, yeah. It was a very interesting project to work on. I don't know if anybody really knows the Cradle of Rock, but it's
the
definitely
history
a huge
is so
historical
interesting.
Piece. Yeah, it's yeah. very, very interesting. And I think that not the history aside, the actual way that the piece is written is really like weird, but like in a beautiful way, in an artistic way. And I think from a choreography standpoint, the actual numbers that have choreography in them are not linked in any sort of movement language. They're all their own different pieces in time. They're their own different, like, even like type of numbers. Like there's one number that to me is very vaudeville. There's one number to me that's very like realistic and playful. And then there's one that is like a little bit more like, has a little bit more like metaphors in the movement. So it's an interesting piece to choreograph as well, because it's not crazy dancey, but the piece itself is it was a blast. It was a really fun challenge to work on, and I think that it was a success. I think it was a hit.
Yay. And then you also getting to work on it with Mickey, who you and I both adore. Like, it must have been so amazing to get to do that.
And then he loves that piece as well. It's a big passion project for him.
It's one that I feel like I'm pretty sure I remember him saying like years ago, he's like, yeah, I want to do that. So
it's like
it's
every
so
year
cool.
he would pitch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I know the show is running this weekend and then next weekend, correct?
Yeah. That's
amazing.
Correct.
So people should go out to Wagner College, go see
Wagner
it.
College.
Incredible stuff. Rock. Exactly.
Fabulous
exactly.
Storytelling going on out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it must feel so amazing to come back like as a guest artist to work on these shows. Cause like you worked on Cradle Will Rock, but you also did On the 20th Century last year for Brian Scambody. And that must've been so much fun too.
Yeah. It was a blast. That show is also very kooky and crazy. Drowsy Chaperone, very similar kind of heightened world that they live in. I loved working on that show. That show was a blast. We had a fabulous turntable that like took us into the scenes and out of the scenes. It was beautiful. And it was really fun to work with Brian and Lori on that show. And I definitely value giving back to any sort of education that has led me to where I am today, because that without the little bits that I got along the way, I would not be here at all. So I love going back.
Yeah. And you will get to be going back soon enough. You will be not only choreographing, but directing the prom at Wagner College this spring. The prom! We're already voicing it, but how stoked are you to work on the prom?
I like simply want to explode. So I choreographed the wedding singer at Wagner when we were there, student run production. And that was the
it
first
was
time
so much
that,
fun.
Oh my God, it's
I
so
loved
fun.
That show.
That show was so much fun. And the reason, one of the things that I really love about the show from the choreography standpoint is the music. And the guy who wrote the music for that also
wrote
the
prom.
So it's the same, like, just joy. It just joy exuding from the chords, exuding from the lyrics. Like, the dance breaks are delicious. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be so much fun. I think that it's been... Cradle of Rock, especially because it's very like serious and there's a lot of history and heart in it. That it's coming from like this like place. I'm excited to go into like this like place.
It'll be
fun to have a little bit of just honest joy. And obviously the story is so incredible and very important. Yeah. And I think it's gonna be fun to tell something new at Wagner. Yeah. Like this, it's so awesome that they're getting to do something so brand new.
Yes, exactly. And I was curious, was the show like already picked when you signed on, or did you get to like pitch this for Wagner? How did that come about?
So basically I heard that they had already gotten the rights for it and that they were going to do it. And amazing. I was like, I want to do the choreography.
You're like,
that's
please.
What I want to do. Because I've been doing choreography to that music since it came out. I was like, I'm obsessed with this. I love the sound. And then I heard that they hadn't had a director for them yet. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. So then I was like, I called Michelle. I was like, listen, is this crazy? Or like, can I do this? And she was like,
can I do both?
That's a great idea. And I was like, okay, great. If you think it's a great idea, then me too. Because especially because I just worked with Brian. I also worked with Michelle on Into the Woods there. Yeah. And then I just worked with Mickey. I was like, I feel like everybody knows me well enough and I know this space well enough. And everybody, I feel like it could be a really great first opportunity to try doing both.
Yes. Yes.
It's going to be a blast.
I'm so excited for you. That's going to be so much fun and such a blast of a show. Like, I cannot wait.
A blast. I am making everyone dress up in prom dresses for opening night. Mark my words.
I think
I want them to be like horrible, gaudy, like 80s prom dresses.
Wedding singer prom dresses.
Yes, like exactly. That's what I want.
Exactly. When is the show running? It's like April, May? Is that in and around there? Or that's like earlier
so
on?
It is the end of last weekend of April, first weekend of May.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, people should definitely keep an eye out. I know you'll be posting about it. So
I'll be like a psycho posting about it. You'll be like, wow, we get it. You're doing the prom.
And you're like, no, I don't think you understand though.
No, come to the prom.
we've come to the end of this episode, which is crazy because I know you and I can talk forever.
Where
can people find you like on the internets and all that good stuff?
You can find me at Instagram at Emma Pittman Official. That's probably the best place to find me. I also have a TikTok, same username at Emma Pittman Official. My DMs are always open and I always love having a good conversation. So if there are any questions or thoughts after this, I would love to hear from anybody.
Amazing. Amazing. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Laura_Marjoram and my website, www.lauramarjoram.com. You can find this show on Instagram at Overtures Show and on YouTube, search Overtures Show. Also on Spotify and Apple Music. So look that up. I've been releasing 2 episodes a week from the backlog and I'm almost at the point where I might be switching it to 1 per week because I'm like actually catching up with the live episodes. So that's really exciting. Nice. But Emma, do you have any final thoughts for viewers live and in the future?
I think that my final thought is that everyone is really lucky to be listening to you, Laura. I think that you are a smart theater artist. I think you're a wonderful person. I love that you're doing this. I think it's so important to like normalize having conversations about life and talking and making our weird, sometimes very like close-knit circle life open to everyone. I think what you're doing is special and that you're special. And I'm really grateful that you have me today.
Thank you. You are so sweet, Emma. Thank you so, so much. And I'm so happy to have had you on here. So yeah, yay. With that, I hope everyone has an amazing day and we will both see you later. So with that, bye.